I'm Stephanie Coxon.
And I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And we are two women influencing real life. So let's twirl.
So most of us have probably heard about the fentanyl crisis. And maybe we hear about it or don't really know about what's going on, or it's just kind of this vague thing. But today we have two people who are going to join us who have an up close and personal view of what's happening with when we say a fentanyl crisis and what that's doing to people, our communities, and our country. And we look forward to talking to them and getting an insight, and maybe with the fentanyl crisis, what other problems that triggers. And they're going to be talking to us of going into folks that are in the Kensington area, one of the largest open-air drug markets in the entire country, if not one, the largest. So that's what we're doing today on Twirl. I'm Kathy Anderson Martin.
And I'm Stephanie Coxon, and we are two women inspiring real life. So let's twirl. Wow, Kathy, I think that this is going to be very eye-opening today. I've been excited to talk to these guys because I, like you just said, don't think that most of America actually knows what's going on when it comes to some of our drug issues. And it just seems to be getting worse every corner I turn around.
Absolutely. I was unaware until the folks we're meeting today. Eric is someone I met through my work at a food bank, and he was sharing what he is doing. And it was just astounding to me. And more, the more I look into it, you almost can't believe it's happening in our country and in our cities. And it's so out in the open. So today we have with us two guests. We have Eric Fossey and Susan Clifton. Eric is a ministry leader with Promised Land Men's Ministries and a partner with Family Worship Center. Susan and her husband, Mark, have also partnered with Family Worship Center, and they have been going to the Kensington area of Philadelphia, Susan, for over 20 years, doing a feeding, clothing, wound care, and also sharing the gospel because they're feeding people spiritually and material with material needs. So they have a real up close and personal view of what's happening, and we'd like to welcome them. Welcome Eric and Susan to Twirl today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Can you just open up and tell us a little bit about what you do, and assuming that nobody knows what you do and what you're seeing as you go about your ministry?
Well, for us, Kensington has always been a very difficult place. For it's not just been the last couple years, but it's been at least 10 years. But we've seen it get progressively more difficult. And what we're seeing is these are not people from Philadelphia. These are people from the suburbs. We're seeing our sons and daughters from Satterton, Lansdale, Perkiomenville, Schwanksville. And they're landing in Kensington. They've burned all their bridges in our suburbs, and they land in Kensington. And when we get to see them, they're at the end of who they are. They're hungry. They have nothing. They're wounded. The drugs that they're using are literally eating their bodies apart from the inside out. It's almost like a flesh-eating virus.
And is that the fentanyl when you say that?
It's the trank. So basically, heroin is a non, almost a non-existent drug anymore. They've been making designer, quote unquote, designer drugs and experimenting with this population. There is actually free drug days when the people on the streets can go up to the drug dealers and get the next experimental type of drug.
Who's paying for the free drugs?
Well, see if they can get enough people hooked to it. Then, they come up with something new, something that's quote unquote better. And when you're addicted, you're looking for the next high. You're looking for the better high. So they say, this is better. So they hand it out for free. And then the people will come rush for it. And then they'll want it. And then that's when the market increases.
And maybe we should start this out because not everyone's going to be familiar with this area. So this, mm-hmm. this is a particular street in Pennsylvania.
Well, it's an area. I mean, for like the last 2 years, we've been at Indiana and East Street, which is McPherson Square, sadly known as Needle Park, because of all the needles on the ground and what have you. But it goes all the way from Kensington and Allegheny, Somerset, Clearfield. It's quite a few streets all in Kensington. Open prostitution, open trafficking, open air markets. I mean, we're not just talking about a drug problem. We're talking about a very, very big span of a problem. It's very difficult.
And
And Susan,
is this happening in other areas of the world as well, or is this isolated to the Kensington area?
well, it's a good question. We have a similar problem out in California, very, very similar in Orange County. But on the East Coast, sad to say, Kensington is the epicenter of the drug market. And it's being fueled by some of the bigger cities where the drugs are coming in from, Chicago, New York, and what have you. And it's landing right in Kensington. The drugs are actually coming from labs. They're being manufactured. Trank is a horse tranquilizer, and it's being cut into their drugs. And it will either do one or two things. It'll either go to their head, and you'll see them, the people bent over, and they're kind of bopping their heads, or they hit the ground and they stop breathing. And that's when we have to minister Narcan to them, and we have to do chest compressions, and we have to bring them back to life if they can come back to life. We've had them die on our in our arms already. But yeah, that's what's going on in Kensington.
And Eric, you've shared with me before, this is open air, so the needles are actually free to the drug users. Is that not correct, Eric? I think you talked to me about that this is a free thing that they can get access to the needles in terms of quote unquote health and safety.
They do. They get like Sue said, they get access to the drugs, especially the new stuff. And it's and I don't know, Sue maybe could talk about this, but it's so inexpensive when they're putting these concoctions together. It costs nearly nothing, and that's why they could just sit there in that location and just come up or prostitute themselves just to come up with a few bucks to buy this thing that they just made or concocted together. And literally it's eating, you know, I've seen, and Sue's probably seen probably even tons more, but just from the few that I've seen, it looks like it's eating you, it's eating from the inside out. And it's just, and they're sticking the drugs in their necks and their legs and their stomachs, and I mean everywhere that they could put a needle. I mean, it blew my mind to see. We went there, I guess it was during drug hour where everybody was using, and they had just shut down Tent City, and there seemed to be 1,000 people down there when we went with the group of guys from Family Worship Center, and we saw at least 6 people shooting in their necks
Oh, yeah.
when we were walking through there.
How
And
do these,
so just go
sorry,
ahead.
go ahead. How do people get to this point? Where does this start?
Well,
Sue can answer that one.
it starts out in our neighborhoods. The one thing I was, being a mom, and the one thing I was so concerned about is that I would go into Kensington and I would see somebody I knew, and I have. Children that graduated with my kids, went to school with my kids. They burned all their bridges up here. They got addicted. Many of them get addicted because they start with one drug and it leads to another. A lot of the older people get addicted from pain. They had pain, like maybe a back injury or a leg injury, and they start out with oxys and they move on to something else and something else until they get to the point where the truth is that many of the parents are asking, they're sending us pictures of their children. Find my child. Find my child. And we go down into Kensington, and they sent me this beautiful picture of this shiny face, this beautiful girl with green eyes and beautiful hair. And they say, find my child. And I'm not going to find that girl. Do you understand? She's going to look like she's 45 years old. She's going to look like her body's falling apart. Her hair's falling out. Her teeth are falling out. Her eyes are yellow. That's what I'm going to find. It's hard for me to find your children. It's only by tattoos I find kids. Seriously, I know.
Wow.
Tattoos and piercings. That's how I find your children. We just found one last week. Praise God. His name was Joseph.
So I would consider you guys experts in this field. You've been down there 20 years. One of the things you hear over and over again that's debated is marijuana a gateway drug?
Yeah, it is. Take it from someone who knows.
Yeah, because we have quite a few senators, even on the conservative side, saying, we need to legalize this. How dangerous do you think that is?
Well, I can only go by personal experience, and I share this very openly as part of my testimony. But I went from marijuana to using speed to using whatever, in those days it was called crank, and using crank until I got off. And you know what? Most of the members of our team were either homeless at some point or addicted at some point. And all of them have come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, that's why they have the compassion and mercy when they go down, because they know. So yes, marijuana is a gateway drug. And I don't care what anybody says. Anytime you need something, and the real problem is, I think, a good 70% of what we see down in Philadelphia is mental health issues. There are people who need counsel, they need discipleship, they need to he somebody to listen to them. They're escaping, just like people do with alcohol.
I've read that, because you think some of us, I know Eric, you've shared these stories with me when you come to the food bank and so forth. And you think a lot of us, like, how in the world, how can you get to that point and whatever? And I was reading, some interviews with addicts living in that area. And the one that struck me, one girl said, I do it because it makes me numb to the pain in the past. And she falls asleep. She takes the trank, which again is fentanyl mixed with horse tranquilizer, correct? That's what they call trank. And she falls asleep on the street or wherever she is, so she doesn't have to deal with that pain of whatever happened to her in the past.
Well, the sad, sick part of it is most of them, like when you talk to them and see when you go down, you're not just going down and handing out food. The beauty of sitting down, and it's deplorable, but the beauty of sitting down and binding someone's wound is you have the conversation with them, and when you hear them talk, do you know what the prevalent thing is? Sexual abuse. A lot of these young people have gone through abuses that you cannot even imagine at home, or an uncle or an auntie or somebody, whatever, or an old boyfriend abused them or something like that. There has been great pain and abuse and brokenness in their lives, and they're just numb.
And so they're taking these things to not have to deal with what happened in the past as a child. I know I've read in the past about half the kids who age out of foster care, at age 18, kids that age out, about half of those kids by age 25 will be homeless because they don't have a support system or people. And I would assume that homelessness then is accompanied by drug addiction and then leads to these kinds of things. Now, when you mentioned going there, you said giving out food, binding up the wounds. Eric and Sue, what are you doing? What exactly are you doing when you go visit? Are you healthcare providers to do things with, because it eats their flesh, is that correct? I mean, this drug literally eats your flesh.
Yeah, you can understand these people that, you want them to go to the hospital. You see their wounds and you know that they're too deep for you to fix, okay? You can just bind them and keep the bugs off of them and clean the infection out of them, but you can't fix it, okay? Just so you know that. I mean, we have no illusions of that. But we take good medical, we take very good medical supplies down. We're very, very blessed. We have a connection for hefty, good medical supplies. And basically what we do is we debride a wound, which means we take all the necrotic flesh off. Yeah. And all the infection. And then we wash it out with say pure saline. And then we pack it out with colloidal silver. And then we bandage their wounds. And it's bad. It's really bad. And we want them to go get wound care. We want that, this is just an opportunity for us to sit with them and clean it up. But we say to them, you need to go to the clinic. There is a clinic down there. But most of them won't go because they don't, they don't want to give up what they're doing.
Hey, Sue, can you
Yeah.
talk about there's a couple of things I want to add in there to give everybody a little bit better picture. So like there are some that actually went to the hospital, but they kick them out.
Oh, yeah.
And they kick them out with the wheelchair, the gear, and everything.
Oh,
And
yeah.
the last time I went with you, there was a guy
Oh.
real skinny, and he looked like he was 80 years old, and I believe he was only 25 years old.
He
And
was.
then I
That's
think
nuts.
he later passed. If you can just share that with them. Also, what happens to the bodies when they die in the park? How often do they die? And do they use equipment, machinery to move them, and where do they take them?
Well, the guy that you're talking about, his name was Mose, and we had been ministering to him for almost a year. He had severe wounds that you could see his tendons in his hands and on through the muscle in his calf. And in between the time when we saw him and we wrapped his wounds up, and he was in a wheelchair, he was also in liver failure. So his eyes were yellow and he was dying. And I said, Mose, I said, we got to get you to the hospital. No, he wouldn't go. Well, eventually he went. I don't know if the police took him or if he passed out or he went, but he went. Basically, they did everything that we did. He has no insurance. So they bound up his wounds, and they basically told him, well, your liver's messed up because of all the drugs you've done. We can't do anything about that. They put him in a wheelchair because his legs were not weight bearing anymore because they were so eaten up by this stuff. He goes out on the street and he dies. And when you die, Parks and Recreation will come and pick up your body. And they will pick you up with a little bobcat and scoop you up. They'll put you in a body bag. You'll go down to the morgue. If you have no identification, you will stay there for a period of time. And then you will be cremated. And then your ashes will be shared with other homeless people. And you will be put in a mass grave up at the Laurel Cemetery up there. And it's a grave marker that says, consigned to the city of Philadelphia. And that's where you'll go. They do try to find people's family to have them claim the bodies. Lady named Lizzie, she died in my, she literally died in our arms. And right before she died there, she did accept the Lord, which was like pretty amazing. But the thing of it is I couldn't let her go because I knew what was going to happen. These people are kind of disposable. It's like they're little rags on the ground, and it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying.
How many people a day are dying on the streets there? Or is it daily?
It's daily. And it depends. And this is going to sound crazy, but it's not. It's I told you they mess around with these drugs because they want them to be as cheap as they possibly can to
Well,
get as
excuse
many
me.
people hooked.
Let me interrupt you for a second, Sue. When you say they, you mean the drug dealers and the people manufacturing these things. Okay.
They want the drugs to be as cheap as they possibly can, so they're cutting it with all kinds of stuff and they experiment. And we know when a bad batch comes because we'll be hitting up three or four or five or six people with Narcan in a day. Because they've gotten the same drugs and they and it was a bad batch. It was something they shouldn't have had. And so, I mean, not that any of it, but it was a bad batch. So that's how they determine whether or not they should market that drug as if how many people hit the ground.
Well, where are they getting the people that are cutting the drugs and so forth? Where are they getting the fentanyl? And I know fentanyl is, it takes a speck, it can kill you. Where are they
Yes.
getting, where's the fentanyl coming from? Are we manufacturing it in this country? I mean, we hear stories, but where do you think that's coming from?
Well, it's coming from lots of places. It's we have it's from overseas. It's coming from overseas. It's coming from south of our border, and it's coming from within our borders. It's not just one place. The problem is that it's so cheap to make now. And seriously, it is so cheap to make that, like Eric was saying, you can get high for $5.
Wow.
Yeah, $5.
I've heard rumors that the US government brings in fentanyl. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a politician. I'm a minister. So, but what I do know is that somebody's turning a blind eye all the time. Trank is a horse tranquilizer. Where do you get horse tranquilizers? Where you get them from veterinarians? And I am not saying the veterinarians or people who produce veterinary medicine are all crooked, but somebody is. Because where do you get horse tranquilizer? Just a
Right.
question.
Right. And
Fentanyl
they're
is actually used in the medical industry for people with cancer. as a painkiller, but it's controlled and it's used in a controlled way. Is it leaks there? I do not know. But all I know is that the wrong people are getting their hands on stuff that they shouldn't be playing with. And it's our children.
I think, it's easy. I think if people are listening, they might be horrified. And I mean, I am. I sit here catching my face, say, oh, and because it's almost beyond belief. But this is out in broad daylight on the street. And I think I mean, it's a tragedy with the people that are going through that and addicted to it. But there are also, and I know, Eric, you've talked to me about this, other communities of people. There are kids going to school and people going to businesses passing by these people. And it's also called the zombie drug because they kind of just go in all these different weird contortions, however they land. But there are people in that community that live there, is correct?
Yeah, right across the street, and they got kids from the park. We're there one time, and we're talking to this guy that was on the bench, and he was about to shoot up. He was actually cooking or getting it ready, and two little kids pulled up on a bike and stopped right there and watched him stick it in his leg, and right there in front of the little. They had to be 10 years old, 10 or 11 years old, and they're used to that, and they're
They're
used
walking
to that.
over bodies,
What's that?
right? They're walking
Yeah.
right over bodies.
So the people that pass out or whatever are unconscious from this, the kids are hurtling the bodies on the street. And then we wonder, right, about the next generation. We want,
Yeah.
well, where is
So,
law enforcement in all of this?
oh, good Lord. Okay, so here's what's just happened recently. So I know this might get a little okay. So what happened recently is the mayor and the new people in charge in Philadelphia had made a commitment that they were going to clean up the streets. And they have. The park has no needles in it anymore. The park has no trash and the park has no people. They have been scattered. Okay, so the streets have been cleaned up, but the people haven't been cleaned up. So all we have done is move them from one section of Kensington down to another section of Kensington. And truthfully, it makes our job a little more difficult because at least we knew where they were before. Now we're hunting them down the side streets and going in the crack houses, and we have to go down into things and whatever to get the people to come out so we can feed them and take care of them. So yes, the park is now cleaned up. But the people aren't. See, there's nothing in place for these people.
Right. Well, we're going to, on that note, have to take a break. And there's still some more to talk about, and we'll be right back.
America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on the podcast on those same apps. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part to share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Now, George Washington once encouraged us to animate and encourage each other and show the whole world that a free man contending for liberty on his own ground is superior to any slavish mercenary on earth. That's exactly what we do, as you'll see when you visit AmericaOutloud.news. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
So this is pretty heavy stuff. So they've cleaned things up to a point, and now you have been tasked with finding to help feed these people. Uh-huh. And, you know, how is the community in this area? I mean, there, you know, we just talked about how the children are impacted by seeing all this. What about other things like businesses and just the community in general? How are they, how do they deal with some of this stuff? Can they deal with some of this stuff?
The community is very depressed. It's just a lot of storefronts that have, you know, closed up. If you drive down, you get on the main drag, it's just one clinic after another clinic after another clinic after another clinic that offers services from abortion to clean needle exchange and things like that. But a lot of the really, you know, the businesses that Kensington was known for many, many years ago in the 70s, I can remember going down with my parents. And in the 70s, they had manufacturing, they had meat packing. They had, you know, it was a thriving community, and all those places are closed now.
How did it go from that to what we see today, where you're literally stepping over bodies? Like how is that such an extreme? How does a community get there? Is it, you know, is it the government's laws and regulation enforcement? Is there something that drives people there? Like, what are the dynamics that create this situation?
Well, the first thing I saw was we've ministered all over Philadelphia, wherever there was a need, we just felt called to be in Philadelphia. And so we started out in Center City. And in Center City, they started doing a beautification project, just like they're doing in Kensington now. They did a beautification project. And when they did that, they chased all the homeless people out of Center City. Well, where did they go? They went to Kensington. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we shut down the mental health facilities. Byberry is no longer available. Norristown State only has one wing open. It's only for the criminally insane. We don't have any place. These people, we have people who are untreated bipolar, untreated schizophrenia, with real mental health issues. And so they might get sent into, the police might take them into the hospital, but they can only keep them for 48 hours and kick them back out on the street. So It's a combination of the mental health. We have no mental health for them, no place for them to go. It's a case of young people aging out of the foster care system. It's a case of, I hate to say this, but it's absolutely 100% true. When the Pope came to Philadelphia and he set up there at Aviator Square there in Philadelphia, right outside of St. Peter and Paul, they chased all the homeless out. They bussed them out the night before because they didn't want him to see homeless people. And they bussed them into Kensington and Copps Creek and other areas. So, yeah, it's real. They wanted to clean it up.
And I think this isn't just, I was thinking, you know, this is Philadelphia, which is kind of ground zero, this Kensington area. And you can, you know, you can Google it. You can see reels on it. These pictures that they're talking about, you can see it on the internet, but it's really in other areas. We're right outside of Harrisburg. And I know the coroner here in this area said Trank is in this area. It is well known. The other week, we had 9 overdoses in one weekend a few months ago. And most of the people were over 50 years old because they got a hold of stuff that was contaminated. So if you're listening and thinking, well, that's where they are, but it's not where I am. This community and what happened in Kensington can happen anywhere and any other areas at risk. And people need to be aware of what this is and how the kids are susceptible. As you mentioned, these are kids that were nice families, so to speak. They're kids that were not in nice families. There's no discriminator in who ends up on those streets in that condition, right?
Well, there was a young lady that we met and I said, how did you get here? I asked them their stories. I'm writing a book called Street Stories. One of the things I said to her, how did you get here? She says, well, I went to a party in Pittsburgh and I woke up and I was here.
What?
She was at a party at a person's house in Pittsburgh. Okay. She got drugged while she was there and trafficked into Philadelphia and they have her hooked and she can't get out. She's stuck. She's so incapacitated. She can't get back.
And Eric, you've mentioned that the drug problem then it leads to a lot of other problems. You said there are a lot of illegals there in the area. And then also there's a lot of human trafficking. All of these things go together. So can you comment on that, Eric, a little bit about things you were sharing with that in that regard?
Yeah. And the reason I'm kind of quiet during this interview is because Sue spent so many years down there. I just had got hooked up with this 3 years ago and it just blows my mind the things that I've seen. But yeah, I mean, not just with the illegals being there and they're getting hooked. But the girls are getting trafficked that are coming across the border. They're getting trafficked and drugged. And then they're just mingling in and out of all these streets. But it's all connected. It's all criminal connected. The drug trade, the sex trafficking trade, it's all connected. And that's how they get a lot of these girls to remain in sex trafficking. And this kind of a number is just you give them the cheap $5 drug. And it costs these pimps and these mules $5 to get these girls hooked. And then they traffic them and make money off of them. And I heard, I think it was the Sound of Freedom. It says that, you know, these girls that are being trafficked are kind of like a commodity that you don't just use once. You can use several times a day for 10 years, or at least until they die or something else happens to them or until they get rescued. And it's a sad fact, and it's just increasing. It's not getting better, and they're literally poisoning. You talked about the marijuana earlier, you know, just lace it with some fentanyl or some trank, and then your first smoke of a marijuana could be your last. Absolutely. And so sometimes it's that easy, and it's sad because, you know, I've heard somebody say that if you put fentanyl on somebody's hamburger, they would consider that poisoning. But because it's mixed with other drugs and other things, then they don't consider that poisoning. They call it overdosing. Well, they were poisoning. We're poisoning Americans. And we wouldn't have done this 50, 70 years ago. We're killing off humanity. And then not only that, we're killing off people that are coming across the border thinking they're going to have a better life. And they're killing them, too. They're poisoning them. And it's a slow process. Slow process.
And who's ultimately making, I mean, I always am like for everything, something that's horrific, follow the money. Where is the follow the money trail? I mean, who's making this money? We certainly have the street corner dealer, but, you know, where's the money going beyond that?
So, I mean, it's going to go back to the cartels. It's going to go back to, you know, and I'm not a politician either, but you know where the money's going because you let these things happen. It's not a coincidence. So, like, I've met a few illegals, and I basically just asked questions. I'm kind of nosy, but I said, you know, how are you getting over here? And I found out from every single person that the mules to cross the border illegally, you have to pay somebody $10,000. Isn't that a weird number? So New York right now is giving everybody $10,000 to be here. And so they want to give everybody $10,000. And I asked two guys in particular. One guy came over 5 years ago, and he said he had to pay $10,000, and he paid in payments. And then so this new guy that's been here 6 months does the same thing, pays in payments. And then same thing for the girls and the children. And so they use threatening, or they traffic your daughter, they traffic your 12-year-old, or they rape your 12-year-old for you to cross, or you owe them. So everyone that crosses, I know it's a sad situation, but it's even worse is because they're indebted to the mules and the cartels, which if the government's allowing this, everybody's on a hook to pay. And if you're not paying your $300 because you got a job here or $300 here and there, they're going to threaten your family. They're going to come after you, or you got to pay in other ways, maybe with your body. If you can't do it that way. And then they get them hooked, and it's all connected, and it's sad, and it's right under our noses, and we're all allowing to do it. We're all allowing it. We're all allowing it. We're all, you know, we can talk. We can, just like what we're doing, you know, Sue, she goes down there and she hears all these stories, and she treats illegals just as regular Americans that are down there. You know, it's sad. You see young girls, you see older people, you see people that are 60, 70 years old, grandmas and grandpas, somebody's grandma. I know, yeah. if my grandma or grandfather got mixed up somehow, or maybe smoked a marijuana, whatever the case may be, I'd do everything in my power to go rescue them. But sometimes you don't even know where they're at. Right. How many people come up missing? You disappear in Pittsburgh. You wake up in Philadelphia. Who knew? Well, we saw her at the party last, and then that was it. OK, maybe she ran off with somebody, and then they're dying. Oh, it's an overdose. No, they're being poisoned.
Yeah.
So there's one other, if you think it can't get any worse.
Deep breath.
I mean, there's one more thing you mentioned, Eric, before we went on, or when I talked to you before. So we have the trafficking of human people are linked to this, the illegal immigration, the cartels, the drugs. But these people also, the illegals in this area, you mentioned, Eric, that about a driver's license issue, because it goes, there's another issue that happens. Then can you share about that, about the driver's license, and then what happens, especially in Pennsylvania, when you can, with that?
Well, yeah. So I found out from this guy, so I asked him where his friend was. He said he's working at McDonald's. I said, how's he working at McDonald's? He said he got a driver's license. How did he get a driver's license? He's been in the country 6 months illegal. He goes, well, you can get a driver's license in any city in Pennsylvania. I go, what are you talking about? And so he's been here 5 years, and he got one in Connecticut, and then they got one in Jersey and transferred over to Jersey. And then if you come in, you get one in Pennsylvania. Any city in Pennsylvania will give an illegal driver's license.
And then what happens with that when you have the driver's license?
Then you can go get a job. So this guy's working at McDonald's with a fake driver's license, but it's real. And so Governor Shapiro, I think it was 6 months ago, 5 months ago, he made it that you have automated voter registration connected to the DMV. So now these people can show up to vote with a legitimate driver's license and they can vote. Or if they don't show up, you can take their registration because now it's on the rolls. And my thought would be the only way to fix this is if you go back like 5 years and see what adult got a brand new driver's license. Those are the people you need to bring in and ask them, because you get pulled over, you show your driver's license, cop says, okay. But you need to go back 5 years to the records. Any adult male or female that received a driver's license, we need to see your birth certificate. We need to see your Social Security card. We need to see all this, because that's what they're doing. And so now they're all getting registered to vote automatically now through the DMV. And everybody's and people are missing this. Not one person is talking about this. Not one. I've listened. I've looked. I looked on social media. I looked every, and I'm looking. Nobody's talking about what you see Governor Shapiro, what he did with the law and making it automated, but nobody's saying one word. So all this work that we're doing is going to go to waste because come November, they got all these driver's license to all these illegals. Same thing with those cards that I took.
Wow. It's just almost, it's just beyond comprehension in so many ways. Yes. That, you know, it's one thing, and I think it's a lesson that one thing leads to another thing that leads to another thing. And I would have to think you earlier said, you know, they owe the cartels this money. So they've been brought here and they're paying the $300. They come here for a better life. I think most people, you know, that's what they want. They come to America for a better life. They owe the cartels the money. You know, we've had guests on here who said about some of the children and so forth that come with the illegal immigrants. No one knows where they end up. I bet you, though, the cartels can find these people, right?
Oh, yeah. So picture this big accounting system that these guys have. They have records of every single person who's recorded. So if you want to know who's illegal in the country, go get that list. Go get the list from the cartels. And they probably have
states
of it. And they probably, so you got captains, you got people that are the mules that say, okay, that's why you see when these caravans are coming, you see a leader, you see two or three people that are kind of in charge. Well, that's your group. You got to be responsible. Okay, this one just sent $100. This one just sent $300. Okay, this one isn't paying. Who's his mom and dad? That's them. Okay, go get them. Right. And that's how it's working. So there's a big accounting system that's along with it. Just like when you're selling drugs, there's an accounting system. Okay, I gave you this much, I should have this much money. You just cheated me, and then they kill you. So it's the same thing. And so these people are actually coming over at a great risk themselves. But once they make that decision, a lot of them probably don't know what the risk is for coming over. That's why you see so many middle-aged males, because true family, true young people, they won't come over. So you're getting these middle-aged males that are taking the risk. Okay, just like this guy, I'll pay the $10,000. You let me make payments. Okay, boom. You know, and then some of the girls just get caught up into it and don't know. And then they owe for life. They're owe for life. You know, I watched, and this is funny, I watched that new Willy Wonka that came out, and they stayed at this hotel, and he signed the paper and didn't realize that he owed 10,000 shillings or whatever they called it, and he had to pay for the rest of his life. It was like 70 years. It's almost like the same thing. Once you sign over that you want to cross the country, you own forever what they decide that you owe. Some of them might be nice and say, okay, your 10,000 is paid, but some of them might not and say, your life, you owe me your life, right? And this is not just one or two people. We're talking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands.
So really,
and that's how much money is going back. That's how much money is going back.
So really, you can look at the money and stuff, but the common denominator in all is people.
Yes.
And when we devalue life, when it can be bought and sold, when it can be overlooked, when you can walk over a dead body or a dying body like it's nothing in a park, when you can turn your... I mean, one of the most beautiful things I saw was when we went down with Vivek and Kathy, and those two were taken to tears. And Benny Johnson. They were taken to tears in what they saw because they couldn't believe. When we devalue life, when we put a price on it, when it can be bought or sold or ignored or marginalized, there's grandmas and grandpas down there. I don't know if you guys realize that. It's not just kids.
How do we solve this? How do we turn this ship around?
First of all, we pray. That's always me, okay? But the second thing is that we have to really look at the programs aren't working that we have in place. Because, see, there's so many hands between the money that the government hands out and the actual people who receive the funding to make the things happen. Everybody's got their hand in the pie, and by the time it gets to the purpose that we need it to get to, there's the funding's gone. So that's where people like our group and Eric and others go. Every penny that we bring in from our ministry goes down there. Every single penny. Nobody makes a profit. Nobody makes money. Nobody gets a salary. Okay. Every penny, every sock, every piece of chapstick, whatever goes down there. And so I think it's cutting out a lot of the government fat in the middle and set it. And Yes. I mean, the illegal people are here, but they're here and they're caught in a trap. They're literally caught in a trap because they're going to be paying, like Eric said, they're going to be paying with their life or their body or their finances for as long. Could you imagine being it's enslavement. It's modern day slavery.
And we're allowing it to happen, basically.
And we're allowing it to happen under the guise of a sanctuary city. This isn't a sanctuary city. This is slavery. I'm sorry, but
legalized slavery. And we don't even realize it right under our nose.
Yep.
And they're all indebted. They're all indebted with their lives, with their bodies, or with their money.
Yep.
I think I want to thank you for what you're doing because I can't, I can't comprehend it and doing what you're seeing and so forth. And, you know, staying upright and positive to go back again. And, you know, I think it's a lesson to all of us too. You know, while we can say, talk of the political problems, it's also a problem of the heart. I know we had Representative Scott Perry on a few months ago, and we asked him, where are all these political problems? And he said, it starts with the heart.
Absolutely.
It starts with our attitude and morality and so forth. And so much the breakdown of the family, as you mentioned, kids that have no purpose, don't see, you know, that then turn to drugs to find purpose, families that aren't paying attention. And this is where it ends up. This is where it ends up, all of those things.
Yeah. And I just, one little other thing, you know, you said, how can you fix this? I want to just throw this out there because there's a lot of people who go down to help in Kensington, not just us and not just Eric, but they say to me, there are cynics who say, and this is a heart issue. Well, it's just a Band-Aid. What you're doing is just a Band-Aid. When my children were little and they would fall and they would cry and they'd come running to me, what was the sign of love? Oh, that little Hello Kitty Band-Aid or the whatever. I'll be glad to be a Band-Aid. I don't know. And I think Eric's proud to be a Band-Aid too. We'll stand in the gap until real solutions come because we need Band-Aids.
And I know I work at a food bank. We work with nonprofit partners, including Eric comes to get food from us. But I know we have one gentleman who runs a rehab unit with 40 beds, with 40 guys. And he recently spoke at a prayer meeting and he said, I was that guy who was one of those addicts living on Kensington. And and he says, you know, now my job is to, I have 40 guys who my job is to help them get, reclaim their lives, get back in the family. So there are success stories of people that are out there and making things happen and, you know, changing lives. So it's more than a Band-Aid. And I applaud you for making that happen. We have about 30 seconds. Any final? Oh, go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, I was just going to say, if you could just tell us, how can people help what you guys are doing?
Go ahead, Sue.
Well, you can contact me on social media. I'm easy to find. Or if you want to contact, get in touch with Family Worship Center, they can get in touch with us. They're Troxel Road in Lansdale. And we will... we're glad to partner with you. We train teams to go out and glad to take your donations, whatever, you know, physical or you want to cook, you want to help, you know, there's lots of things to do. So you can
medical supplies are well needed as well. Medical supplies are well needed.
Yeah, huge need.
How many different people tend to donate to you guys? And is there one need that's a little bit larger than another need?
We get donations from as far as Queensland, Australia. I got socks sent to me from all over the country. We get donations and they might be little. It might be somebody sending me 10 bucks or three pairs of socks. I go out on social media and I put a list out. This is what we need this month. And it's met. I don't know
how. So they could be found on social media?
Yeah, I can find me on Facebook. I'm easy to find. And so is Eric. We're kind of all over there.
So Susan Clifton and Eric Fossey, F-A-S-C-I, and Family Worship Center in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Ultimately, you could connect with Family Worship Center, who could then help you connect with you guys and your teams, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for your commitment and trying to change the world and sharing so openly what you're seeing and not holding back. We need to hear this as Americans. These are our fellow Americans.
Yeah, they are.
Thanks for helping, bringing us on and letting us be able to share that.
Thank you.
Wow, Kathy. It's just shocking to hear this. I don't even think we told a joke this
and we're usually
thing.
Snarky and sarcastic all the time. So this is not snarky and sarcastic, but it's troubling. I've been able to chat with Eric the past few months and hear these stories. And, you know, you go online, you see the reels and so forth, and you don't think it's real. In fact, I wondered, Sue answered a question for me. I see the people in Kensington that have wheelchairs. I'm like, how'd they get a wheelchair? Well, she said, they go to the hospital and they send them on out the door, you know. And I think, I don't know about you, Stephanie, sometimes we're kind of like, well, they're addicts, it's their own choices, their problems. But Sue casts light on, these are very broken, hurting people before they even get to that situation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing that really I don't think is stressed enough, because you know how I love pharmaceutical companies, but some of these drugs that they're using openly.
I feel right there was the sarcasm about your love of pharmaceuticals, because you're not a pharmaceutical.
I am not a pharmaceutical person, but, you know, I don't think that people understand that some of the drugs these doctors are willing to give you can lead you down this road. And one of the biggest groups of heroin users are actually suburban moms. And people don't realize that. And it usually starts with an accident or something like that, and they get on a painkiller. We just lost a friend. My husband and I just lost a friend who was in a similar situation. He ended up overdosing about 6 months ago, but it was 2 years from the accident to his overdose once the doctor stopped giving him the opioids that he was receiving through the medical system. And he's not the first. He's not the first person we know that has been through that. So this is, you know, to me, it's just heartbreaking because these people do have family. Some of these, you know, and I don't think I realized, you know, that someone could be at a party and then wake up in this area against their will. That shocked me.
I have a 22 and a 23-year-old, and I'm always telling them, you don't know, what's in anything. And you know, I love that Sue said, we hear this marijuana and these things, oh, they're not gateway drugs. They're just that. And she, I mean, if anyone knows what they're talking about, it's her to say, yes, this most definitely is a problem. And you could do that once and it be the end of you because you don't know what's in that drug. And, you know, I tell my girls all the time because, you're right. I mean, that young lady, it's just horrific. It's, I think, every parent's worst nightmare.
I wonder, I just wonder if this is going to stop. We're seeing mental health issues increase much due to our own government's interventions. And, you know, as we continue down this road, as people search for coping mechanisms, as things become more accessible, because a big thing about addiction is the accessibility. You know, they found that heroin users in Vietnam, only 10% remained heroin users. In the U.S., because of the accessibility, about 90% remain heroin users. You know, it's like your cup of coffee. Most people could go off of coffee if they wanted to, but because it's so accessible, they really struggle to, right? Like it's all about the accessibility when it comes to addiction. And that's not something that people talk a lot about. That's probably a major component. So here we are allowing the accessibility to all of this, through some of the interventions that are supposed to be saving these people really are not, in my opinion.
No, and it's definitely not something that's going to be solved through another government program or, you know, a government, as Sue said, about the government money, where it starts at the top and how it actually gets down to solving the prep. There's a lot that happens in the middle and a lot of people profit from it, but yet it doesn't solve the issue. It just keeps getting worse. And, and then we got into the issues of trafficking and the cartels knowing where, you know, Eric said, I mean, that's what's also mind boggling, that they have accounting systems where these people are. You know, we had Doug Mastriano on a few months ago and said whole plane loads of kids, illegal immigrant children with no adults in Pennsylvania, and no one could say where they ended up. And I was thinking in my mind, did they end up in these places? We don't know. Our freaking government doesn't know, but the cartel leaders know. If that doesn't scare you,
well, then let's be clear. If the government can find all the January 6th people, they can find these people. They just don't want to. I mean, like,
exactly.
Come on. I mean, let's really break it down. What's going on?
I owe a hefty tax check. I was thinking maybe I could take my chances and they wouldn't be able to find me, but I think they would be able to find me, right?
Oddly enough, you are findable. It's the other people that seem not to be. The people they want to disappear seem to disappear, oddly enough.
Yes. You know, so,
deep breath. This was a hard interview.
But I think people have to know what's happening, because so many of us are uneducated, or they think it's not my community, so I don't care. Tomorrow, it could be your community. Kensington was a thriving, just a few decades ago, a thriving, livable community, and now it's not. So that could be your community. And you have to do and stand up. You have to be aware and take action in your own family first, and then in your community.
Well, and let's not forget that this isn't just happening in Pennsylvania. She pointed out there's areas in California. You know, this is something that's happening across the board. And it's very easy for your family member, your child, your parents, whoever, you know, is in that car accident, who, you know, doing, you know, marijuana, whatever it is, it's very easy to get wrapped up into this without that intention. And I think that's, you know, where this comes down to, is it literally does impact everyone at every socioeconomic level there is. This is not something that is just a portion of us. It's all of us. And we've got to recognize that.
Well, and I think it goes back to what we say on the show every week. Wherever you are, in whatever capacity you can, stand up, step forward, and for heaven's sake, speak out.